Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
It's Bud Pod 244.
244. You want more.
You want more.
You got more of us.
You got more.
You got more Christmas. Christmas is starting already.
Christmas is here.
I feel like, you know, people keep saying Christmas just starts earlier and earlier. I don't feel that anymore. Is it that has the Christmas spread finally stopped?
Yeah, I saw...
I think Christmas is starting later now.
I think the earliest thing in the world is Easter.
Easter.
Like, 1st of January, you'll see some fucking chocolate eggs hanging
out.
Wow,
this is a pretty spicy take for the main pod. But yeah. You're right, I think Easter fever starts pretty early.
Easter's the real creeper.
Ah, there's real escalation between the chocolate companies for Easter. It's a very focused market explosion. And it's just for chocolate around Easter. They all go, okay, we got to get ahead of Cadbury's this year. What do you got?
Can you imagine, like, the high intensity and, like, contextually extremely important, but also ridiculous meetings about that?
Oh, yes.
Like.
Oh, and all of our fucking cream eggs.
People just sitting around going, like a guy who is, like, 55.
Yeah.
And he's paid a lot of money.
A lot.
And millions. He's sitting there. He's got veins in his head sticking out. He's so stressed about Easter again because he works for a chocolate company. And it's objectively silly, but it is like, it's so important.
Yeah.
And he has to sit there and be like, oh, fuck. They've got Pop Rocks. They've got Pop Rocks in the chocolate.
Have we got the mold in from China for the fuzzy bunnies? Do you have the funny fuzzy bunny mold from China in yet?
Okay, get the social media people across on the war on Easter thing again, where every year those fucking lunatics say that the word Easter's not allowed on our packaging, and we have to post a bunch of pictures to show them that it is on there.
And the adorable basket designs, are they finished? I asked for those adorable baskets 3 weeks ago! They're not nearly adorable enough, you call this cute? He throws it out of the window.
We need to compete in the mini eggs within the eggs market. We don't have a product in this space. And just like on a really angry Zoom call with a load of like Belgian chocolatiers.
Yeah. And like screaming about £1 million worth of decisions while looking at a sort of a cartoon rabbit looking at you going, bleh.
Yeah. Doing a big speech to a load of Belgian chocolatiers and saying, well, we have very good news. We got the license agreement in for the Shrek eggs. And then they're all going, aah!
It's a scene from fucking Wolf of Wall Street where he says, I'm not leaving. Shrek. It's about green eggs.
It's about green eggs. And they all know they're going to make millions more. Throwing their little chocolatier hats into the air. Hurrah! Hurrah!
Jonah Hill hugging some piece of trash. Because they're going to make a lot of money. Yeah.
Yeah. I find jobs like that very funny, where objectively they're not for anything necessary or important.
No.
But they have become necessary and important through just random shit like, let's eat chocolate at Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. And I suppose like Hollywood is the epitome of that.
Yeah. I think that's what's the thing about acting that is lame.
Yes.
Is having to be like, right, your job now, I think I've said this before, it's just a tennis ball on a stick, but you need to pretend it's your dying goblin wife. And you need to like really cry and be like, and it's just this tennis ball. And you're in this like green dome in like a warehouse.
I know. And then you have to do like the most emotional acting.
The most incredible acting of your life. And you can see, like, through your eye line behind the camera, there's just, like, a big guy in cargo pants just eating pasta out of a tub.
Scratching his ass.
Yeah, just, like, checking his watch.
And you pretend going, like this tennis ball gave birth to you.
Yeah. And just continuously having to, like... It must be the worst for, like, Marvel.
Yeah, but Marvel must be really tough. For me, I think the acting that I could never do is when they like look up, but like an ally make a sudden yeah. important appearance at the end of the battle.
Yeah,
and doing like that. doing a little smirk.
A little smirk like we the Hulk. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like you bastard or whatever, you know.
But it was son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I wondered when you'd show your little face.
Yuck! I couldn't do it. I could not do it.
Having
looking
to
up at nothing going.
You
I think we're
going to
be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Or like looking towards a different padded green segment of something and sort of having to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
My God, the Gromblins, they've recharged. And at that moment, I would just be like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be helped by the fact if I knew I was getting bajillions of pounds, obviously.
I recently watched a great movie, Chicago. I've never seen Chicago.
No.
Have you seen Chicago?
No, I've heard it's very good.
It's spectacular. It's from like 2003, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing. One of the best movies I've seen in a long time. It's just Husky Bidi Papa Scoopity Wah. You should put out great songs, great choreography, great cast.
Yeah.
And it's all sets. It's all filmed with sets. It's all real shit. It's, and I don't get to say this phrase very often, it's the Mad Max Fury Road of musicals.
Wow, that is a big claim.
Yeah, it's the Mad Max Fury Road of musicals. You can feel the crunch.
Isn't it funny?
Of Roxy's tap shoes.
Isn't it funny that for us, real now means physical sets?
Yes, yeah, we've gone back to a very literal definition of real.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, they didn't actually film it in a Weimar prison camp.
Yeah.
It was a set, and they go, so it's not real. Whereas we're so sick of 3D.
Yes.
We'll just take anything that exists in the physical human realm.
Well, I was shown some BTS behind the scenes documentary stuff about the shoot, about the killer.
Yeah.
Michael Fassbender we talked about last time.
Oh, yeah. And it's...
So much of it's CG.
Yeah.
Not the scenes you'd expect, but just him riding a motorbike through a city.
Yeah.
It's all CG behind him. Some of the close-ups of his head in the helmet, all CG, is not even there. And I'm like, what? Even this? You can't film these? I mean, it's convincing. It's good.
I did stop and think, like, okay, how much did this cost, this level of CGI? And then how much does it cost to block out 100 Parisian streets for a night shoot?
Right.
And
yeah.
I thought, okay.
That probably makes sense. And pay Michael Fassbender for however many
days. And pay Michael Fassbender to stay up till 4 in the morning.
And stuntmen and maybe ride off a motorbike.
Yeah.
And
like 7 stunt drivers for the cars he avoids?
Yeah.
Is that as well? And then you start to go, okay, give it to the nerds. fine.
The nerds are just stood in a crescent on the other side of the room just doing the Bruce Lee come on fingers.
just doing that kind of that hand readiness posture thing. That's another cringeworthy bit of Marvel green screen acting. When they sort of go into like a come fight me pose.
Yeah, and they all do it together and the camera like sweeps down under them and they're all friends. I hate a they're all friends shot. Whether it's Fast and Furious or Marvel, there's always a shot in the big battle where they all ready themselves, they regroup and they make a little pose and they're all and the message of the shot is they're all friends.
Also,
I hate it.
They all their poses are different.
Yeah, because it reflects to each of their different personalities and fighting styles.
It's so lame.
I hate it. Please stop.
They should do one where they do that and they all just quickly shake hands. Good luck in the fight. Nice to meet you. I'm Captain America.
Good rarely prevails. This is what I want. This is what I've been kicked out of cinemas for saying at the end of Marvel movies. Good rarely prevails.
You've been shouting good. You started out muttering it into your popcorn. Halfway through the film, when Captain America starts to get his powers back or whatever's happening in the plot, just you eating popcorn going, oh, good rarely prevails. Someone just turns around and looks at you quickly. And you, just nothing.
Uh-huh.
And
oh, no,
a few minutes later, well, good rarely prevails. Shh. Shh. I'm like, sorry. But then by the end, good rarely prevails. Just you're screaming at being taken down the aisle by a pimply teen.
Sir, you can't say that in here.
stop opening the window and letting reality into this ridiculous room. I've still been thinking about... Did I talk about having seen Napoleon on here?
Oh, no.
It's very silly. I liked it.
Right, yeah.
But some of the lines in it, there's a bit that references a meme, I'm thinking.
No, please. This is the Marvelification of fucking history movies now.
Also,
nothing can be done earnestly. Everything has to be a wink and a nod to the audience.
Joaquin Phoenix.
I think you'll find it's pronounced Joaquine.
Sorry, Joaquine.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Joaquin.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay, Phoenix. Now I know what you're talking about.
Sorry, Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin's Phoenix.
Yes.
Joaquin's got a very big Phoenix.
Yeah, so Joaquin's Phoenix. He plays the... he plays Napoleon, I think, like the Joker.
Right, yeah, you're saying.
There's some, like, random laughing and stuff.
Yes.
And I don't know if maybe it just got into his head that's how he acts now.
That any powerful, violent man has to have a sort of dark and twisted emo.
Or sort
side.
Of being like a sort of goblin. It's quite odd. It's an odd film.
Does he do the hand thing into his jacket?
I think there's some shots of that. There's also some very silly... None of the historical inaccuracies will put off anyone who isn't at my level of tedious little fuck.
Yeah.
If you're just a normal person who doesn't know that much about the Napoleonic Wars, you'll have a great time.
Yeah. In general, you know...
But it is still a weird and very long film.
That's it. It's like either if you're going to get some of the history wrong, I think that's fine as long as the underlying story and message and characterization leaves the audience... I don't know, feeling richer in some sense.
Yeah, there's some weird shagging in it as well.
I hate a movie with unnecessary weird shagging. Why?
Yeah, it's not like love scenes, really.
Yeah, I just don't think we need a romantic story or sex story to be persuaded that the character is fully realized.
I get the impression that Ridley Scott feels as though Napoleon was a kind of slightly detestable Gaddafi figure.
Mm-hmm.
And the film reflects that.
Was there an anti-colonialist streak through the portrayal?
Not really.
Right.
Because they're fine with, like, Britain and Germany and, like, you know.
They're depicted as quite normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because they're all colonial, so it's just impossible to... It would be impossible to tease that out.
Right, okay. I just meant maybe if they were focusing on Napoleon's...
The fact he brought slavery back.
Well, I mean, I guess just like there'd be an overarching anti-imperialist bent on the whole movie.
No, it's not a woke movie.
Okay.
Not in any specific way.
Right.
There's just too much. There's too much to know and say about Napoleon for there to even be room for that.
Well, this is why, and
also, this is made by like a guy in his 80s or whatever, so it's definitely not that.
And if you refer to my latest Room 101 that I did on the radio with Paul Merton, biopics was one of the things I put in there.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And citing specifically Darkest Hour, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Because for many reasons, but for one of them is this, that you inevitably have to reduce everything. You have to reduce a person, you have to reduce their life story. And what you end up with is either thin or nonsensical.
Yeah. Yes, and you end up portraying Winston Churchill as this kind of giggling...
Mr. fucking Magoo.
Mr. Magoo. A man who was... a veteran of and taken prisoner during the Boer War. Like a war veteran. An old war veteran. Like a mad, old, fat, weird man. But like not a cuddly. Giggly, you know.
Not a cuddly anti-fascist.
Like passing out lollies on the tube or whatever.
Yeah.
Fucking awful fake cockneys on the tube as well.
Never!
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 Awful.
The trip from Embankment to Westminster is taking so fucking long. It's like, it doesn't take that long.
Like a 19-minute trip of... And just... Oh, man. He best actor, didn't he win?
I think that's why actors do it. It seems to be this shortcut to a best actor Oscar. I'm not sure why.
I think because
they're just like wowed by an impression. Also, it's so hard to tell when someone is acting. If they do an impression, like, okay, yeah, that's definitely acting. Yeah.
Half the Oscar just goes to Winston Churchill as well.
Right.
Because they're like, right, I'm associating how much I like him.
Yes.
With this film.
Yeah.
So that you get an award for being the guy I like.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Speaking of biopics, I saw the Tina Turner musical.
Okay. The stage musical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other day.
Good.
I don't particularly know or care about Tina Turner.
That's a hilarious audience to imagine you in, by the way.
Mate. It was, on average, a pretty fucking old audience.
Yeah.
But there were, like,
well, this is one of this musical is one that's infamous for the worst behaved audiences.
There were posters everywhere saying "Behave yourself." I think the worst one might be The Bodyguard. In that really? South London, it's off West End.
Right, wow.
But it's Tina Turner's got a lot of posters saying, don't sing during the thing.
Wow, they're at the point now where they're literally saying, don't sing. Not even like, don't be disruptive or rude. Like, don't even get started.
They're having to phrase it like, Tina Turner had a very special voice and people liked it, so don't sing along to ruin it. Like, trying to talk to them like children. Don't sing along. There'll be plenty of time for singing and dancing along and being all rowdy at the end in the big finale.
Okay.
So they siloed the bullshit towards the end.
Okay.
There. And no video camera, whatever, da da da. Yeah, and there it was mainly sort of people, a lot of grey hair, but like active grey hair, not 80s. So let's say people in their 60s.
Okay.
50s and 60s. And then sort of gaggles of what you might call boozed up northern birds.
Yes, yeah.
Who've come down to
London.
Read
a couple in our Les Mis show.
Yes, yeah, very much.
Yeah,
there was lots of sort of Prosecco vibes coming out of the audience. A lot of groups of seven women going at once.
Woof.
Yeah. Woof, which, woof. As we know from comedy clubs, they are worse behaved than stag do's.
Much worse, because they stick together. They stand up for each other.
They're a
unit.
And they're there to win.
Right, yes.
They're not there to
they're
be
there
made
to
fun
defeat
of.
Defeat the production.
Yeah, we will win this and we will be the show. Look at me, I am the show now.
Because it's Sandra's 40th.
It's Sandra's 40th and she deserves this after everything that's happened. Exactly, yeah. So I thought, oh, fucking hell. But they were fairly well behaved. But at the end, when they were still like, don't film or take photos of the grand finale, who was it with their phones out? All old grey-haired men. Completely
no
ignoring the rules.
Huh, there you go.
All fucking boomer guys.
Yeah.
Taking little videos. But what made me... It was very, very good. It's an incredible production. Everything about it is brilliant and top-notch, and the singing is, like, astonishing. And the main person playing Tina Turner has to act and sing as, like, different stages of Tina Turner and the actual Tina Turner and still do things in between.
Yeah.
Like the level of lung
Tina
capacity.
Tina Turner plus.
This it's insane. More, it's insane.
More talented. This person is as talented as Tina Turner, plus the other stuff.
Plus all the acting and dancing.
Yeah.
Well, I guess dancing. Anyway, so it's like amazing, amazing, amazing. But like all musician biopics, it has to have the first 45 minutes has to be, you ain't never going to be a rock and roll singer, boy. The wrong kid died. Like in Dewey Cox, like Walk Hard. You know, like Elvis has that.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash has that.
Yeah.
Why would anyone want to hear some hillbilly boy singing them old spirituals? And then hitting him with a scythe, something agricultural. The main message seems to be that if you were literally a Mozart-level musical genius from the age of four, your parents would hate you if you were from the Deep South.
Yeah, they were afraid of you. Afraid
everyone
of
in,
talent, and they thought you were the devil. If you
Alabama agreed. And Mississippi and Texas and all these places, they'd just be a little kid coming out with these incredible tunes, and the parents would be like, you fucking little prick. Like, just immediately they'd hate you. Bizarre. And that has to happen a lot in Tina Turner.
Yeah. It's going to be tough watching like the biopic for, like, I don't know, Mark Ronson.
And Mark Ronson. You know, just, or just Tame Impala.
Yeah.
Were they at Cambridge?
Mark Ronson.
No, Tame Impala.
Tame Impala. He's Australian Tame Impala. I don't think.
Who
he was
the
Cambridge.
One that was at Cambridge?
Oh, Clean Bandit were at Cambridge.
Clean Bandit.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, the biopic for Clean Bandit.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah.
You're going to have to play this May ball. And it's black tie. So you all better get yourselves suited up.
You ain't going to piano tuition because you haven't practiced your scales yet, young lady. And I don't want to embarrass yourself in front of your tutor. You got your grade eights coming soon, and you better take it seriously, girl. Now get up to bed. You look tired. Get some rest. I'll bring you up your dinner. Unless you want to eat downstairs, it's up to you, girl. I want you to feel comfortable. This is your home as well.
Yeah, this doesn't quite have the same ring.
We ain't gonna buy you no violin. We gonna rent you a violin until you have shown sufficient skill and dedication to the violin, and then
We'll buy you a violin.
And even then, only one that is of a quality appropriate to your skill level, which is not to say we won't upgrade you if you do get better, but at this point, it's like having L plates on a Ferrari, all right?
You ain't no kid of mine. No kid of mine could be so talented and brilliant.
We have to come up with this genre.
It's good.
Of supportive supportive biopic parents. Yeah, supportive biopic parents.
Supportive biopic parent. There's a new character now.
Great. So we've witnessed the birth of a new character.
The whole new genre.
Boy, you got the devil in you, and that's why you're so good at rock and roll. He's got all the best tunes. Carry on.
Well, I do have to, before we go to correspondence, speaking of movies, I did see an excellent movie recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which was also the first premiere I've ever been to.
Ooh.
Because it's also the first movie I've ever been in.
In!
And it's Wonka!
It's Wonka.
Your humble
servant,
smelly pod bud, Phil, is in the upcoming Wonka movie. For a moment. But what a magical moment. Phil is in it being poopy, being nice. I'm not that poopy in it. They wouldn't let me be poopy. But it was great. It was very exciting to be at a premiere. It was so glitzy and glamoury.
Who did you see that? Was there anyone you saw at the premiere that made you go, oh?
Well, I mean, the main cast, Timothy Chalamet was there, Hugh Grant, Rowan Atkinson, Keegan-Michael Key, Olivia Colman.
Yeah, she must be in everything.
Yeah, having Hugh Grant in the room was just like, ooh, it's like, you know, those scenes when everything goes wavy because like two worlds have melded, or like you go into the TV and things go wubba, wubba, wubba.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, I'm in the movies now because Hugh Grant is in the same physical space as I am,
and he's bending gravity around himself.
Yeah, but it's a beautiful film, fabulous film. It's a beautiful film. It's a great Christmassy film. It's really nice, actually. It just got 5 stars in The Guardian.
No.
And the review mentions me.
Does it?
It does. I was like,
what does it say? 5 stars in spite of. A very repulsive dance.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's important is that they mentioned me.
Yeah.
I actually don't want to say because it kind of gives away my involvement.
Okay.
But if you want to give it away to yourself, you can just read the Guardian review. But it was very cool to be mentioned in the 5-star review of Wonka.
That's a poster quote.
It's out on the 8th. of December. I'm going to end up seeing it quite a few times because I'm going to go with my family. That's gonna be a bit weird taking my family. Buying tickets with my family to go to the cinema in Bath to watch me in a movie.
To watch me in a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to feel like Margot Robbie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You know, when she goes on her own to see a movie she's in?
Oh, yeah,
and she's,
yeah,
like, smiling there, and she's looking around watching everyone watch the movie.
Ugh.
That's a nice... I like that scene.
Get up and do a dance. Do the dance from the movie.
Oh, that'd be fun.
In front of the screen along with yourself.
Oh!
Sprint to the front.
And just get carried out. And they're going, no, it's me. Look,
no, look. It's me, please.
Of course. Everyone says it's them.
We're all in the Wonka film, sir.
And then I'm going to
Good rally triumphs.
I get thrown into a cell in the basement of the Bath Odeon, and there are other guys in there. And they all just go, you said you're in the movie too, huh? I'm like, what the?
And they all look a bit like Timothy Chalamet, but not really. Like they all look a bit like they're thin and they look similar to him.
Yeah.
But they all have like eye bags and crow's feet and like, like they visibly are like in their 40s and 50s, but still his vibe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like smoking there. Yeah. And you're like, no, but I. And they're like, we're all in the movie.
We're all, yeah, sure kid. We're all in Wonka. Yeah, but it's very exciting. Do catch your fill in Wonka, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah. What's the next movie you want to be in? What biopic would you like to be in?
Ooh, I'd like to be in the biopic. What biopic is likely to be made anytime soon? Kissinger. Has it been a Kissinger one?
No, but that would be a hell of a one.
Yeah, because it'd be one of those like decade-spanning ones.
Yeah. Yeah, because they'd have to include his war service and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many people who look like me. Although he did meet Mao. The first Chinese leader he met and worked with was Mao. So
yeah,
maybe I could be Mao.
How old was Mao by then? By the 70s, he was pretty old.
Right.
Yeah, or was it the 60s? But yeah, he was pretty old by then.
Because Kissinger died at 100.
Yeah. And Mao was in charge from 48, 47?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
He beat the Kuomintang.
Oh, yeah. We've been right after the war.
Yeah. And so then there's another 30 years on top of that.
Right, yeah.
So he would have been at least 50, because you can't win that as a 20-year-old. He must have been a bit older.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, you'd have to do some... You'd have to get some pretty crazy wigs to get that Mao hair.
Yeah.
Around the sides.
Around the sides.
That's when you know you're too powerful a dictator, when people won't tell you that you should really just shave the sides of your fucking head.
But it's also always impressive to have a hairstyle that is that is definitely you. We've had hair for so long.
Visual branding.
You think all the styles have been done by now?
And Phil was just being sick into his mouth there a bit, because the idea of having that hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you want it as part of a visual brand.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
To have that distinct... What is it?
Silhouette. Well, Richard Osman's hair is quite distinctive, or his head, brackets,
it
general.
It is, because it's just sort of tall. It continues his body's theme of tall.
Long,
yeah.
But it's also like, because it's on those mugs from...
House of Games.
Yeah, and it's his hair and his glasses.
Yeah.
And that must have... I wonder how long he had the same hair. How long did he stick with it?
I reckon he's got a sort of Mark Zuckerberg-style hair situation where it's just like, one less decision to make in the day.
I'll have this hair now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
All the more time for... making entertainment. All the more time for looking through the matrix of what the British population wants.
Yeah. Being like a sort of in-world version of the architect.
Yes.
The people would like a show about knitting. But sir, why would anyone want to watch it? Just holds up a finger. Knitting. And then the chair revolves in this infinite white space. I think that's his home office.
Yeah.
An infinite
and
white
space. Some guys looking just like manning a printout of lines that just keep going up. My God, they love it.
They've got a captured chimp that they've sort of hooked up to have the brain of a British person who's about 43. And they just pick up like a very old, like a 60s desk mic and go, knitting. And then the monkey just starts going, like freaking out. He loves it. And they go, right, they like it.
Yeah.
Knitting. I think that's the only way that we can explain his great success.
Yeah. He is a kind of savant, old Osman. But all of that is to say, watch Wonka. Go see Wonka. Tell your friends about Wonka. Say that everyone in the cast of Wonka should have their own movie.
How long is it?
How long is the movie? 2 hours. Just under 2 hours.
That's good.
Yeah, it's good. I think
these days,
anything under 2 hours is quick.
Who makes it? It's not
Warner Brothers.
It's Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Disney can't make a damn thing.
What do you mean?
You know that movie? Well, you won't, because it's like crashing out and making no money. Wish.
Oh yeah.
Frank saw it with his son, and he really liked it, but. I've just never heard of it.
This is it. It's a Pixar one, right? A Disney Pixar one?
Yeah, I think so.
Or now is it just called Disney?
I don't know. But it's a Disney one.
But it's like all these, every few months,
they all fail.
A new, slightly different version of a girl with a slightly different version of a pet.
Yeah.
And then a new title that's one word and quite forgettable.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, is this another one? Or is this like a rip-off by a different company of Disney's last one?
Yeah. And the girl will have her arms crossed and an eyebrow raised.
yeah. She's sassy, but also like hopeful and earnest. Yeah, like, oh, another one, is it? Okay.
Okay, who's the funny sidekick in this one? And they go, oh, it's, hang on, let me check here. It is a finger puppet that's come to life of a clown. And you go, okay, who's the enemy? And they go, it's a, like, it is a truck. It's a big truck. And you go, right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's the type of magic in this?
Yeah, what nationality of magic is it this time?
Yeah. Is it for the Hispanic demographic? Is it sort of vaguely North Pole-y, kind of Finnish Lapland?
Is it voodoo stuff? Is it Day of the Dead magic?
Yeah.
Is it witchy magic? Is it Chinese magic?
Yeah.
Is it Shinto magic? What flavor of magic are we working with?
Have we had African magic?
In a Disney film.
I can't think of...
Somewhere out there, a Disney exec Podbud is feverishly scribbling down the next idea.
We've got to sell Africa to the Midwest.
It is funny that stuff Hollywood doesn't sell to Africa more, because particularly the population of Nigeria is this kind of sleeping China almost. There's 190 million Nigerians.
Yeah, they'll be
a relatively prosperous country. It's weird that...
It's just so unequal, though. It's not spread out.
As in the wealth?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. But it still feels like the kind of thing you could make... People would go to the cinema, you know? You could make money from cinema tickets. Sure.
But then I bet you there's a graph somewhere where every point that you, like, dial up Nigerian appeal, it dials down appeal in, like,
China.
Fucking Kansas. Well, China.
And China. I mean, more China than
there's probably
else.
Some equation out there where for every black person you put in a film, the Chinese... Fucking cinema takings go down by like a billion yuan.
Yeah.
And they're just that's an expensive casting. Chinese hate either non-white or non-straight. Non-straight, non-white brackets Chinese.
Yeah, I mean we joke, but that is almost certainly a calculation that's made.
It must be, because it is quite striking.
Yeah.
The attitudes and stuff.
Yeah. Where were we at in the...
Well, speaking of attitudes that are quite striking, it's time for some correspondence.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ring letters, emails, phone calls,
correspondence.
Okay, so we have an email from... How do they sign it off? That's the key. I would say Gmail is the worst app I've ever downloaded in my life. It's an absolute pile of shit and I hate it.
I'm sorry.
Well, you should be.
None of the mail apps seem very good. Anyway.
Which is an insane thing to say.
Like, for my Apple Mail one, sometimes they'll just go, no, there's no message here, actually.
Yeah, they
and
just
I'll go,
oh.
I'll go on my iPhone and go, look, I'll throw my iPhone to my laptop and say, look, it's on the iPhone. Why? And on the laptop, it's just going, oh, we can't find it.
Yeah.
But it's the same. You're looking at the same place.
Or you search for a really distinctive noun to find an email, and they go, did you mean these hundreds of mailing list emails that you thought you'd deleted? You go, no, I didn't actually. Why would I look for those? Anyway, it's from Diane.
Diane, my man. Not.
My woman.
My man. My woman.
Good gay. Good gay. Good gay. Good gay.
Good gay dies.
Good gay, good gay. That's what happens when they shut down like the gay club for the night.
All right, everyone. Good gay. Travel
right, good
home.
Gay.
Be safe. Good
See
gay.
See you tomorrow. Good gay. Like it's a bowls club. Good day, Chucky, Kentucky, and Marjorie.
Ah. Chucky, Kentucky. Chucky, Kentucky.
You're well. I wrote a few years ago with the tale of my marathon victory covered in poo.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. You'll be glad to know I have since raced and won other marathons without soiling myself.
Ooh, dry victories.
Dry victories.
At last, it is possible.
Alas, my only poo stories of late relate to the observation that when one is out with one's dog on a countryside walk or run and needs to use the leafy loo, one's canine chum can often be keen to help you clean up the mess you leave behind.
Oh, for God's sake. I thought this was going to be a nice story about taking a dog for a walk. And instead, it's the most horrible image I'll encounter today, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Is that just me and my dog, or is it more? It's probably every dog.
I remember one of my strongest childhood memories is watching my younger sister, who was of toddler age, do a bunch of, like, a trail of poos in the basement. And then our dog, Bella, a dumb, very dumb chow, just sort of eat them, like, one after the other, like she was following a trail to the gingerbread house. Yeah. Just, next one.
A trail of little poos.
A trail of little poos. Yeah.
You just stood there with your head in your hands.
Yeah. The house. My sister meant to find her way home now.
Yeah, it seems to be a general thing. Diane says, I live in Spain.
Ooh la la. The rain there stays mainly on the plain, I hear.
Yeah. I quite often take sneaky photos of hilariously named items in shops, trying not to point and laugh loudly, as my partner is a Hispaniole. And can be slightly offended.
Oh, really? Sneaky pictures.
Que terrible. One example I can remember is there's a really famous bread brand called Bimbo.
Great.
And so you'll see trucks and huge cardboard station thingies with the name on them.
Bimbo.
As you can see, the mascot isn't a ditzy lady, but an adorable teddy bear. Who knows what the bear has seen? So that's, I'll show you.
Oh, that's really funny.
How do you describe
that? It's
like
a white chef teddy bear. He's got a chef hat on.
It's like a ice white teddy.
He's sort of leaning over the word bimbo and smiling straight at the camera going, hey!
Wearing a big chef's hat.
And underneath him, though, it just says in big red letters, Bimbo.
And his his hat's got a red B on it.
Great.
Bimbo.
Like a scarlet letter.
Mm, for bimbos.
For bimbo.
So this bear is a kind of idiotic, a sort of idiot slut.
Yes, slutty dumb bear.
That's what they're, a slutty dumb bear.
Yeah, a slutty dumb bear.
Interesting. Bimbo.
But they make great bread. This is the thing people don't know about slutty bears. They actually make very good bread.
Dumb slutty bears make great bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are your last words. Before you die.
It sounds like a mnemonic. It sounds like something you need to remember.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The order
dumb
of
slutty
the...
bears make great bread.
If ever want to remember the order of the planets, just remember dumb slutty bears.
DSB MGB. DSB MGB.
DSB MGB. Dumb slutty bears make
dumb slutty bears make great bread. Don't steal bullion. Don't steal bullion. Make gold bars.
Nice. Yeah, it's about, yeah.
It's Fort Knox's motto. If you go to Fort Knox, you can see everyone there going, dumb slutty bears, make great bread. Yeah, okay, yeah. That's our code of conduct summed up. So this bimbo. Another thing that they sell is something called Kaios.
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 C-A-L-L-O-S.
Oh, yeah.
Kaios. Which can be translated as calluses. If you get a rough patch on your skin, it's the word kayo.
Mm.
But it's actually beef tripe stew.
Wow. Okay.
I just love the idea, vomit emoji, of buying a delicious tin of calluses. And indeed, the reality is in fact far worse for a vegetarian like me.
Yeah, it's like, yes, the name might not be entirely appetizing, but what it actually describes is a disgusting dish. It's like
those travel shows.
Yeah.
Now, a big tin of calluses might not sound very appetizing, but if you were to open it, inside you discover something even worse. Anyway, so I was looking for a notebook in this fancy shopping site called Amazon.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Amathon, she says.
Oh, yeah.
On Amathon. And I found the monstrosity attached. Now, let's see if you can translate this.
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
It's tat, but it's in Spanish.
International whispering.
International whispering. Una gran esteticista es difícil de encontrar. Difícil de dejar e imposible de olvidar.
A big testicle is difficult to hide, but not impossible if you really try.
So it's una gran esteticista.
No idea.
Es difícil de encontrar.
It's difficult to
encontrar.
Encounter.
Yes. To find.
To find. Ah.
Difícil de dejar. Not
difficult,
sure what that is.
Okay.
Imposible de olvidar.
And impossible to olvidar.
I think forget. Yes. So it translates as a great aesthetician.
What's an aesthetician?
I think it's like a beautician.
Like an aesthete. Like aesthetics.
A great aesthetician is hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget. It strikes me as a bizarre, and it's a notepad.
Huh. Dedicated to a beautician.
Apparently. It strikes me as a bizarrely specific gift that provokes a series of deep questions. I myself have never used an aesthetician, a beautician we'd probably call them. So my lack of versedness combined with linguistic and cultural distance, I think helps me to see this artifact for the bat poo that it is. Keep calm and jacket on, Diane.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank Lovely you, to Diane.
Get a missive from Spain.
Yeah. Bimbo.
Bimbo. Bimbo bread.
Bimbo.
Come get your bread from your bimbo.
Let's see.
I just love to wake up in the morning, walk down to the bimbo and get some nice fresh bread from the bimbo.
Bimbo bread? Bimbo bread?
Well, you've got the strong arms of a bimbo.
Muchas gracias.
You've got the forearms of a bimbo over there.
So, a quick one from Sam.
Sam, hot clams.
Hot clams.
Hot clams.
Dear Messrs. Wangthrax and Novelichok.
Nice, we've never been poisons.
Mm.
Nerve agents, I guess.
Nerve agents?
Yes.
Praise redacted. I have an offering for the altar of the Church of Dirty Boys and Girls.
The altar is open. My child.
On a recent visit to an all-you-can-eat vegetarian Indian restaurant in Archway.
Okay.
I looked wide-eyed on what could only be described as an onslaught of tat.
Great.
In the upstairs, there were various peppy slogans about vegetables. You say tomato, we say anti-aging.
Okay.
And some words of wisdom about eating vegetables. It was downstairs in the gents where things got a little odder.
Uh-oh.
In the narrow corridor, hence the double picture here, capturing different aspects of the horror, I saw a collage of tat showing the true reason for becoming a vegetarian, e.g. growing a massive cucumber dong.
What?
Yeah.
It says grow a massive cucumber dong.
Well, that's just what he says in the text.
Oh, okay.
Alongside, there was a collection of stock photos of pretty women.
Oh.
Presumably all of whom were waiting for your meat-free priapic transformation.
What's priapic?
Priapic means of or relating to erections.
Oh.
When you have an erection that lasts for longer than 4 hours and you have to go to the hospital, that's a priapism. Yes. So if you describe someone as particularly priapic, it means they're horny and have boners all the time.
Wow, okay.
Bonerific, I guess it means.
Yeah.
He's attached the words of wisdom. And it is lots of things about how, like, you're marvelous and wise if you're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
You say tomato, we say anti-aging. Very good. Research suggests vegetarian food can be really orgasmic, and it's a massive sort of cucumber dick. One recent survey, claims vegetarians, capitalized for no reason, have a more robust sex life. Is it true? Well, it can't harm to find out, can it?
It can't harm.
It can't harm. And then it says, call the Vegetarian Society on phone number and we'll send you our full information pack. And then underneath that, apropos of nothing, it just says, the tomato is the elixir.
Very hard.
And
very
elixir is capitalized. The tomato is the elixir.
Oh, wow. He has a lot going on.
In a completely different section of the poster.
The cucumber poster has got that yellow and black color scheme of like an anti-smoking advert.
Yeah. But also just like, give us a ring and we'll send you an information pack. And then as you turn to leave, okay, thanks, yeah. They grab you by the collar and pull you in close. The tomato is the elixir.
Quick.
What? Nothing. Good day to you, sir.
You are in grave danger.
Yeah.
The tomato is the elixir.
And then just a sort of collage of sexy Asian ladies.
Oh.
Yeah.
East Asian ladies.
East Asian, yeah. I was expecting
an Indian
South
restaurant.
Asian.
Yeah.
And then a pilot. Just a white guy dressed in a pilot's uniform.
I'm a pilot. How am I meant to be on the right poster now? That's very weird.
That's extremely unsettling.
Yeah.
If you become vegetarian, you'll get a cucumber penis, and you can fuck all these East Asian women, and maybe a white male pilot. Wow. The tomato's the elixir. Hmm? Huh? What?
What?
Gone. There hasn't been a horny vegetarian here for over 50 years. I think if vegetarians do have better sex lives or crazier sex lives on average, it's because they are statistically more likely to also be sort of polyamorous hippies.
They're also more likely not to feel like this after dinner. Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. I can't right now. I just need to lie down.
I don't know. I went to a vegan diner once.
Oh.
And I felt like that after. Because it's all just like different ways of like whipping up
Satan. Just sort of.
It's just oil and feta and like.
Yeah, and
bread
and, starch
and oil and starch. And like,
oh boy.
Gluten, just tofu and.
Yummy. I had some tofu for lunch.
Yeah, tofu for lunch?
Yeah, I often have tofu for lunch. I love it. I love it.
What do you do to it to make it actually nice?
What did you do to this? It doesn't need much doing. Put in some sauce, cook in some sauce. If you get tofu puffs, cut them in half and put them in if you're having a noodle soup, spicy like ramen or something.
Yeah.
And then while they're cooking, you give each tofu puff a squeeze, and when you release, it soaks up all the soup into the porousness, and then it's delicious when you eat it.
Sponge.
Yeah, it's a sauce sponge, but it's also tasty, nutritious beans. This is because it's beans and sauce, essentially. That's why you don't like it.
Yeah. Also, meat is the source of the sauce, whereas tofu is only a recipient.
Yes, but
No one's ever like, make sure you to roast your tofu to get all the lovely sauce out of it.
No. Tofu's not got an overwhelming flavor. I'm not saying it does.
No, it needs the sauce.
It is a nice recipient of flavor.
Yeah, it's a one-way street.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a flavor cul-de-sac. the flavor cars can park there.
Yes,
but they can't travel through.
It's a multi-story car park for flavor.
Well, now it's time to go to the VIP basement of a vegetarian restaurant.
Can we go to a multi-story car park?
Yeah, okay. VIP multi-story car park of the Patreon.
Yes, see patrons there. Otherwise, buy tickets to Bud Pod
Live.
Christmas Live.
Smelly Crapmas.
Smelly Crapmas. Watch Wonka when it comes out. And continue to love us both in any way you can find.
Please.
Please. Much love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.